It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Activists had hoped to obtain a majority in the Legislative Council, also called LegCo, in September's poll, capitalizing on anger at Beijing's imposition of a controversial national security law in Hong Kong and fear that the territory's freedoms are being eroded. So, that will be interesting. There is a lot of coverage about this. If you want, I've got...
Holy moly. Well, we're on the roof today. Welcome, welcome. It is 1903 UTC on a beautiful May 18th, 2023. You're listening to On Radio and News to Me for a Thursday show. I came up to the roof, but as I walk out, it is much too bright. I may need to buy some sunglasses or at least some sun covers for my eyeglasses, but until we get to the shade, we're just kind of cruising. Lots of birds flying around making noises, which is good. A lot of healthy trees right across from the parking garage. Ah, mellow. All right. Hey, look at that. I can see, which means it's time to launch comm. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to tty.sdf.org. Huh. Sounds like equipment time. Ah. Very cool. The city is painting. The city is painting the stripes on the road. So anyway, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. And then once you do that, boom. Launch comm, and you press G for go to, and type an on radio, all lowercase, all one word. Holy moly. Apparently they need two different trucks to paint the stripes. They used to only use one, but... Oh, one is a warning that there's a slow-moving vehicle ahead. Hey, welcome. Sorry, I'm just trying to find a quiet spot. Quieter spot. The fourth floor parking garage is about a quarter full, so that's lots of high frequency noises really bothering me. Trying. We'll see if the that's tough. Sorry guys, one second. We're going to walk back up to the roof. Ah, the high frequency noise was a leaf blower, an electric leaf blower. But hey, all right. Sorry about all of that. Let's just take a breath and reset.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means It's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh man, so one of the greatest dangers to a motorcyclist in the city, at least inside like the city limits in the city, first is, of course, inattentive drivers, then people turning left across traffic, and then third, sometimes I think the second or third, is leaf blowers and the fact that despite it being against city rules, all the leaves and lawn clippings that are blown out into the road, they wash into the storm sewer eventually to clog up our wastewater processing, but before it does that, before it gets to clog that up, it makes a nice slick patch on the road. In your car, you may not notice it, but on a motorcycle, you definitely will. Probably as you pick your motorcycle up off the ground. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Welcome. Shout out to Gretzu and Quinton, the stalwart holding down people of a non-radio room income. And just thanks for everybody for being here, hanging out, listening. I had a lot of fun with Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe that airs at 19:30 yesterday. And they'll be even more fun today. So please stick around for that. Shout out to Claudio M. I do want to mention, just a heads up as far as programming goes, Flux from DJ Stug is at 20 hours today. And we also have F-Fog, Rotors B, Rotor SB, Handy C. All these guys are different DJs. I forget what their proper names are on the radio, but they are there. So please check them out or go to the archive and listen to the old stories. But you don't have to go to the archive for Tobe because he's here every goddamn day. So let's get into it. There's a bunch of news to talk about. We got a lot of, if you're just a warning, if you're sensitive to it, we probably have two or three stories around children and their fate in this big scary world. So if you're sensitive to that, you may have some feelings later. But first, let's go ahead here and get Firefox to sync so we can look at our bookmarks. Let's go over here to Settings, Sync Now, and then it goes and does this little sync dance. Syncing. And once it's done, we can go over to our bookmarks, desktop bookmarks. I recently, not an advertisement, but I've been trying to watch. I have several friends who are into the NBA, and so they've been trying to get me into the sport. I enjoyed watching it, but I only have antenna TV. And so with antenna TV, they don't have TNT. You know, there aren't any broadcast games for the NBA. So I went ahead and signed up for an online streaming service. And when I signed up for them, you'll never guess. It doesn't work with Firefox. I have to use Safari or Chrome. It's a real shame. But anyway, neither here nor there. Just one of those things where that's what I got to do. So we start with a bizarre but a not too wild story here. Check this out. What do you think is a big issue or something to fear when you're in a boat? Alligators, maybe like military men, or maybe just having too many people on a boat. These are all ways to die. But in Malawi, the death toll is up to 7 after a hippo capsized a canoe. The death toll has risen to 7 after a hippopotamus charged into and capsized a canoe on a river in South African nation of Malawi. 6 bodies were recovered floating on the river Wednesday. Police said following the incident on Monday, a 1-year-old child was confirmed dead on Tuesday. 6 new bodies recovered, including a teenage boy and girl, police said. Police say 17 people are still missing and the search for them continues, although they're also feared dead. Authorities said the canoe was carrying 37 people in at the time of the event. So, yeah, if you may not be thinking, when you think canoe, you may be thinking like Boy Scout canoe, but no, it's just an unpowered boat. So, 17 people on board, and the hippos dined that night, I guess. I don't know, do hippos eat people or just attack people? Either way, really sad. Don't worry, kids don't just die in Malawi. An 8-year-old girl has died in U.S. Customs and Border Protection custody. If you didn't know, the ICE is one of the strongest arms of the U.S. military's oppression force, I guess. I'm not sure what to call them, right? Like they're one of the ugliest arms of our government. Anyway, the girl and her family were detained at a border patrol site in Harlingen, Texas, when she fell ill. The agency said she was transported to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead on Wednesday. It said it would investigate the incident and that the Department of Homeland Security had been notified. The Honduran consul in the border town in McAllen, Texas, Jose Leonardo Navas, identified the girl as a Panama-born Anadith Tanay Reyes Alvarez. Mr. Navas told the AP that she was traveling to the U.S. with her Honduran parents and her two older siblings and had been born with heart problems. Her father reportedly told the consul that she'd been operated on in Panama 3 years ago. Her death appears to be the first in U.S. Border Patrol custody for several years. But it's the second death of a child from Latin America in U.S. government custody in as many weeks. That's right. Last week, a 17-year-old Honduran boy who arrived unaccompanied died at a government shelter facility in Florida. The government didn't provide any information on the medical emergency the girl experienced or other circumstances around her death. So anyway, this happened here. We had plenty of kids die during Title 42, but anyway, just a heads up, an 8-year-old girl died, here in, the U.S. Of course, that's not all. In Worcester, Massachusetts. Oh man, the stripe painting guy's passing in. He's got a really cool job. I don't think he's spraying. They're like scanning the road, maybe? Oh no, he's putting down. Oh, this is interesting. So they've got the lines. He's putting down the reflective markers that go in between the lines. So he's putting one down in between each set of lines. Very interesting. Anyway, back to the death of a child. The man charged with murder in the death of 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver, whose body was found in a suitcase beside a highway, pleaded not guilty at his arraignment on Thursday and was held without bail. Alberto Sierra Jr., 32, was the former boyfriend of Jeremiah's mother and was arrested on Wednesday. Prosecutors didn't say what led to Sierra's arrest. Messages seeking comment were left with his attorney. Jeremiah's body was found in... Oh, this is a little bit old, but he just got arrested, which is wild. Jeremiah's body was found in April 2014 along Interstate I-90 in Sterling, about an hour west of Boston. The case was weighed heavily on the mind of Fitchburg Police Chief, who was involved in the initial investigation. This case rocked the conscience of the city of Fitchburg, he said, outside Worcester Superior Court. At one point, we were Jeremiah's family, 45,000 residents in the city, and we are here today beginning the process of healing. So, we'll see how that plans out. Oh, let's see. What do we got? Here we are. Quentin letting us know. Hippos are veg only, so they just hate humans. Grouchy and run and swim. Much better than people. Okay. Purse chaser. Cheddarwurst. Okay. Calm is being having fun. Definitely, if you are... If you are an SDF user, check out the B-Board. Over on B-Board, Announce had some interesting posts, and Anon Radio had some interesting posts. So just, hey, if you're on SDF, you might check those out if you don't check B-Board all the time. Anyway, 3 child deaths, varying ages, 1, 5, and 8. Not the greatest thing. Of course... It's not all terrible news. I figured I would give you some good news to help not be so sad. A group of hikers stranded in Southern California used their iPhone's emergency SOS feature to alert responders to their location. The Ventura County Sheriff's Office was alerted to the missing group of 10 around 8 p.m. on Friday. Family members also contacted the police when the group failed to show up at the trailhead where the group embarked, towards the Last Chance area of the Los Padres National Forest. These hikers were able to contact Ventura County Sheriff Dispatch through the Apple Emergency SOS feature, provided valuable information such as a location and if immediate medical aid was needed. So, they were saved by about 11:15. that night. So that is awesome. So that's 10 people that didn't die. And then in Colombia, there was a plane crash with the whole family on board. But Colombian President Gustavo Petro says that there's... this has been updated. The original story was about how these four kids had survived a plane crash. But now, apparently, there is no confirmation, or the confirmation was revoked. The story goes, Colombian President Gustavo Petro says that there is no confirmation that four children who went missing after their plane crashed in the jungle more than 2 weeks ago have been rescued. Search teams have found items they think belong to the children in the jungle, as well as a makeshift shelter. This led them to believe the children must have been wandering alone through the rainforest. But Mr. Petro said information about their rescue couldn't be verified. The children, who range in age between 13... Hey, it's a little BMW with two really big, heavy side cases on. This led them to believe the children were alone through the rainforest since the crash, but hasn't been verified. The children are in age between 13 years old to 11 months, and they were on board a small plane along with their mother, a pilot, and co-pilot when it crashed on May 1st. All adults died in the crash. News about the alleged rescue of the children was broken by the president himself on Wednesday afternoon local time when he tweeted that they had been found after arduous search efforts. But less than 24 hours later, he deleted the tweet and shortly later wrote, "Hey, another motorcycle, a little MT-07. All right. Two different motorcycles. Neither of them Harleys. News about the alleged rescue was broken by the president, but less than 24 hours, he deleted the tweet and wrote, "I've decided to delete the tweet because the information provided by the ICBF, the Colombia's child welfare agency, couldn't be confirmed. I'm sorry about what happened. The armed forces and indigenous communities will carry on with their search." So, we'll let you know what happens. The BMW GS, the adventure bike, you pretty much never see, especially in Austin, you very rarely will see a GS without all the luggage it can carry on it. And I don't get it because I don't know what they're carrying when they're going. Like, I have a top case that I keep on my bike, but I don't put the side bags on unless I'm going, like, on a cross-country trip. So I never get it. I guess maybe if you're using it to go get groceries or something. Whatever. it was Bike to Work Day. Some people are bicycling home now. Anyway, you're listening to Anon Radio. This is news to me. We are at 1919 UTC, which is a fun time to say. So I just wanted to remind you of the fact. Also, we'll try and get into some better or less child death news here. So let's see. Israel's causing trouble. They're hassling the Palestinians again. We won't go totally through it. They looked into how much it would cost to clean up all the oil in the Nigerian oil spills. It would cost about $12 billion. The home to some 2 million peoples, the Bayelsa state, is in the grip of a human and environmental catastrophe. Lying in the Niger Delta region, Bayelsa is where oil was first discovered in the 1950s, and for decades where Shell and Eni have operated. Once home to one of the largest mangrove forests on the planet, rich in ecological diversity and value, the region now is one of the most polluted places on Earth. At least $12 billion is needed to clean up the soil and drinking water, reducing the health risk to people, and restore mangrove forests essential to stopping floods. The four-year investigation was carried out by the State Oil and Environmental Commission, an international panel of experts and prominent figures who worked at the request of local government. They're asking Shell's new CEO, Wael Sawan, to commit to paying their share of the $12 billion bill, but Shell's just selling off all their assets in the country instead and leaving the country. So, anyway, if there's one thing the Dutch are good at, it's fucking over Africa. That's the Dutch Shell Oil Company. Hey, there's the Harley. Anyway, sorry, the whole world is guilty of... All the Western countries are guilty of fucking over Africa in some way or another. But anyway. Column is, Kama is not comfortable talking about child death or about the exploits of the West. Let's jump over to some cooler and more fun news. Oh, that's a van turning into traffic. I don't need to wait. I'll just drive into the traffic. That's fine. Anyway, in good news, at least for me, I'm in Texas. This is not a normal site I use, but it had a breaking story. Bluebell has announced Thursday it is partnering with Dr. Pepper to produce its newest ice cream flavor, Dr. Pepper Float. The new flavor arrives in stores today and is available in 23 states where Bluebell's available. Dr. Pepper Float is a creamy vanilla ice cream swirled together with a Dr. Pepper flavored sherbet. I don't know. The best ice cream floats are made with Dr. Pepper poured over a few scoops of Bluebell. Jimmy Lawhorn, Bluebell vice president, said. Up, I'm gonna sneeze. Oh man. It is also a pollution alert day here in the great state of Texas, in Austin, as we've had a stalled out front. The weather, the air mass, the air hasn't been moving. It's funny, as I get older, I'm more and more sensitive to pollution. I'm going to have to move to some cleaner area, more remote place. I also need to move because of all the anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ stuff going on. It's making me sad. Anyway, child deaths. minus. Alright, so anyway, Bluebell's got a new flavor coming out. If you get Bluebell ice cream, be on the lookout for that. I did want to, since we've got just a few minutes left, I do want to mention, because I subscribe to LWN.net, a very important news source. It's a paid service, so they pay for reporting on Linux stuff. Which is very rare. Anyway, I don't really know all the details. I just know it's important and good to support them, so I support them. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is because there are a lot of cool conferences coming up, and I wanted to make sure you knew about them. A call for papers is open with a deadline of May 28th for free and open source yearly, which is happening in Portland on July 13th to the 16th. The call for papers ends on June 4th. For Linux Fest Northwest, which happens in Bellingham, Washington this year, on October 20th to October 22nd. That's Linux Fest Northwest. So get those papers in by June 4th. June 5th deadline for Linux Security Summit Europe, happening in Bilbao, Spain, which is September 20th and 21st. And then June 12th is when those papers are due for PGConf, New York City, in New York. Which is happening on October 3rd through the 5th. And then events that are happening coming up now. We already missed the Red Hat Summit. We haven't. Red Hat Summit's next week in Boston. Red Hat Summit 2023 is May 23rd to the 25th. Debian Reunion is in Hamburg from the 23rd to the 30th. That's Hamburg, Germany, if you happen to be around. The OpenSUSE Conference is happening in Nuremberg, Germany, May 26th through the 28th. I don't know how close Hamburg and Nuremberg are to each other, but you could go to both if you wanted. PGCon is happening May 30th to the June 2nd in Ottawa, and the Open Infrastructure Summit's June 13th to 15th in Vancouver. New York City is hosting the Beam Summit June 13th through the 15th. Huh, a car stopped just in the road, not turning left or right. I wonder if they're okay. They've just kind of like stopped. They don't have turn signals on or anything. Oh, I see. The road has backed up. The light has backed up all the way back here. Anyway, to continue on, in the Czech Republic, KVM Forum is happening June 14th to 15th. In Seoul, South Korea, our CEF Days Korea on June 14th. Vancouver's got CEF Days on June 15th. DevCon, we talked about that already. München, Germany's got SUSECon München in June 20th to 22nd. Postgres is hanging out in Essen, Germany on June 27th. Prague's got the Embedded Open Source Summit at June 28th to 30th. Free and Open Source Yearly is July 13th to the 16th in Portland. And then the final one on the list is, come on, there it is, Academy 2023, July 15th through the 21st in Thessaloniki, Greece. Anyway, I won't do that, but probably once a month. But I did want to share that because I thought, hey, you might not know about these conferences unless you saw them on the list. Let's see what we got going on here. Westinghouse is in the news. Westinghouse, yes, that Westinghouse. Jump to comm real quick and check comm here real quick. Tobe pointing out, Tobe news. Claudio M says, move to where Tobe is and you can do crossover shows. Mostly Mots and Sense. Yeah, Quentin points out, Austin seems like the least Texas part of Texas. It is one of the least Texas-y parts of Texas for sure. It is still Texas, though. Don't get it twisted. You will find the same backwardness you find everywhere else. Hey, and Publius, welcome, welcome. Claudium was munching his lunch at lunchtime for sure. Hey, G-Nimmy, welcome, welcome back. Yeah, I don't know why. Dr. Pepper, it used to do international, I thought. It doesn't anymore. Oh, golly, I am sweating up a storm. I'm in the wind. I'm in the sun and the wind, so I didn't feel that hot. But then I went to swipe, like, itch my back, and it was like, oh, dear. People are going to know I was outside. All right, anyway, we've got 2 minutes to go, so let me give you the nuclear news since Publius is here. As part of their collaboration to develop a next-generation nuclear power plant based on lead-cooled fast reactor, or LFR technology, Ansaldo Nuclear and Westinghouse have completed the first testing campaign at the passive heat removal facility at Ansaldo's facility in Wolverhampton, UK. So that'll be very cool. I'm not really sure how liquid cool using lead as the liquid is going to work, because that seems it could introduce ecological disasters, of course. CNNC, which is the Chinese Nuclear Corporation, has commissioned a seawater uranium extraction test platform, said to be the largest such test platform to be built in the South China Sea. That's right, there's uranium in your water. CNNC noted that only a few institutes in China have carried out on-site tests of seawater uranium extraction. It said its new marine test platform has the ability to carry out verification and amplification experiments in real conditions. So, we'll see how that goes. The Soviets built several lead-cooled reactors for submarines, but they suffered severely from coolant freezing. Yeah, that would be a negative. If your coolant freezes solid, you do not, you are in for a bad time. Oh, look, it's a motorcycle. Motorcycle did not see the lane, and so he's riding in between the lanes and almost got run over. That would have been sad. The only other thing to mention here is thanks for listening to News to Me and Anon Radio. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe and Stug afterwards at 20 hours. And yeah, I'll see. Let me